This is the Sunday Worship Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Worship. My name is Sam Davidson and it's great to join with you today. Our speaker today on this Palm Sunday is Tony Daniels, who is the Territorial Director of Community Services, and we'll hear from him later on. I'm going to read Matthew's account of Palm Sunday. This is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of God! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." We're now going to listen to Tony share some thoughts about the events of Palm Sunday.
This is a wonderful passage of scripture for many reasons. Firstly, it reminds us that Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem is the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and it reads this, "Your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This was a powerful prophetic message and moment for the Jewish people, King Jesus being manifest and received as the holy and righteous one. So much so that as a sign of deep respect and in recognition of his royal standing, the people did what traditionally was done for any royal dignitary of the day. They took off their cloaks and laid them down before him onto the cobbled pavement. Though symbolic in terms of its gesture, the removal of an expensive outer garment was very significant. It brought with it a level of vulnerability, a level of self-awareness and self-consciousness, and of humility, as everyone else could see then what other clothes an individual was wearing underneath. Undoubtedly, people have been caught up and would have been caught up in that very precious moment as they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." I've often wondered, how long did the people leave their cloaks on the floor before going to collect them? Or did their particular cloak have the imprint of the foal's foot still on some of them as they walked across them? I wonder if you think about those sort of things. Perhaps that's an interesting or random thought. Well, we'll have to let you decide. But let's get back to this concept of vulnerability and the removal of our cloaks or outer garments and Christianly facades. Often, as we bring ourselves to Jesus in prayer or worship and devotion, I try to put my best front on, which is obviously ridiculous because God knows me and us intimately. He knows our rising and our sleeping. And the Bible tells us that he knows our hearts completely. However, not only is it difficult to be vulnerable and open to God at times, it's difficult and, can I say, downright awkward to be vulnerable with our Christian brothers and sisters, or with anyone else for that matter. And yet, if we want to seek to move beyond the superficial religious platitudes of, "Yes, I'm okay, thanks," or "Good, but busy, thanks," semantics heard up and down the country in most churches on Sunday and at other times, we may wish to both challenge ourselves and, in doing so, others on how we're really feeling when asked. And that said, being appropriately vulnerable with others is risky. We risk, unfortunately, sometimes potentially being judged or perhaps seeming not as emotionally together, quote unquote, as people expected. But often this tacit human condition to be seen as being together or having it all together is, how can I say this? Often driven by an innate human ego and our insatiable need for social credibility and acceptance, none of which interests Jesus. Quite the opposite. In fact, Jesus models humility. Jesus models deep honesty. Jesus models self-awareness and emotional intelligence. And these characteristics, some might argue, are central to us growing up and maturing as Christians in terms of our spiritual formation and discipleship. And this is why the story of the Pharisee and tax collector found in Luke 18, 9-13 has always challenged me, and I find it really intriguing, and I think it's relevant here too, as we continue with our analogy of cloaks representing pretense or pride or ego, as we strive to bring our whole selves to God and be appropriately vulnerable with ourselves and others. And so it reads in this way. Then Jesus told the story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And my quick précis of that story is this, that one man decided to keep their cloak on, complete with religious facades and subsequent religious verbiage and all religious trimmings intact, and the other simply ripped it off completely, metaphorically speaking, and beat on his chest. He was deeply vulnerable with God, deeply honest about his plight, and didn't care about being humiliated before his fellow citizens. And so in summary, personally for me, Psalm Sunday reminds us of that tried and tested phrase, keeping it real, or rather, keeping it spiritually real. It's a challenge to all of us to strive to remain not only open, honest, and vulnerable before God, but also with my fellow human beings. And what we all know is that as we deepen our vertical relationship with God, it is likely that the fruit of that will impact immediately on our communities and other individuals.
Follow in the Lord.
Dear God, we give thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came not as a conquering king, but as a humble servant. As we enter this holy week, renew our minds and spirits. Let the story of Easter inspire us to welcome him into our hearts anew. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have lots of wonderful Easter content coming your way during Holy Week, including Good Friday and Easter Day messages from Colonels Peter and Julie Forrest. For the latest information on the radio schedule, visit salvationist.org.uk/radio. Our thanks go to Tony Daniels for today's message, and thank you for listening. Goodbye and God bless.